I'm gonna go get some more. here on the tarmac, touching down for the first time in the United States? Yes, I do believe it's here. Yes, it is confirmed. It's Ebola. Ebola mania has finally come to the U.S., and the crowd is terrified. Coming off a big summer in West Africa, Ebola is finally here. What are you going to do now that Ebola is here in the U.S.?
Die.
The girl I loved was an inhuman enemy bent on my destruction. That moment's sleep was death to Becky's soul, just as it had been for Jack and Teddy and Dan Kaufman and all the rest. Their bodies were now hosts, harboring an alien form of life, a cosmic form, which, to survive, must take over every human man. So I ran.
It's a killer. It's a ruthless killer.
We're very, very scared we might get infected.
This crowd could not be more shitting their pants.
So, Ebola, how are you finding America so far?
With a map.
How do we cure you?
Well, if we knew that, we'd become doctors.
Well, there's certainly more money in that, that's for sure.
How many Americans do you plan on infecting?
How about we start with you and move on from there? No, really, we're going to infect you.
I ran into Jimmy Grimaldi run the other day. My only hope was to get away from Santa Mira, to get to the highway, warn the others of what was happening.
Thank you.
on, pretty scary show.
Yeah, what's that new organ?
Not as nervous as America is for us.
This is one of the most spectacular acts I've ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in America, Ebola, ladies and gentlemen, Ebola.
You better get quarantined if you know what I mean. Ebola's here in a really scary way. Reinfected. Just one guy. Woo-hoo! But what if he coughed on someone?
Like a fool, Miles, and accept us.
No. Never.
He's in here! He's in here!
Put the nerves where they should be. I did it, and I did it right.
Oh, it's the bit of a girl Fettes was talking about.
The same. Look here, Gray. I fitted them together like this.
Room, given all the attention that had been paid to the Ebola crisis in West Africa and the fear of it coming to the United States, that it would be some kind of code red, that there'd be a lockdown, that emergency protocols would be put immediately into place. Is that what you experienced?
Well, first, I think we all have been watching too much TV because and we never talked about Ebola, and we probably should have.
You never talked about it prior to Mr. Duncan arriving?
No. We never had a discussion. They gave us an optional seminar to go to, just informational, not hands-on. And it wasn't even suggested that we go. It wasn't, something that they said, you know, you really should try to make it. It was, I believe, only offered once, if not twice. We never were told what to look for. And I just don't think that any facility in this country is prepared for that at this time.
So when Mr. Duncan came to the emergency room, a possible Ebola patient, where was he placed? What kind of procedures immediately kicked into gear, if any?
First, let me say I was not a nurse that cared for him. And so I only know what my coworkers told me, people that were in direct care of him, people handling his lab specimens. I was sitting next to the doctor who was in charge of his care that day. And all I know for sure, without any speculation, without any, without being misleading here at all, is that he was put into an area where there are up to 7 other patients. We took probably around 3 hours to make our first contact with the CDC to even let them know that what we had as our suspicion. There was no special precautions other than what we know in the medical industry to be, basic contact precautions and droplet precautions. It was no special gear. We were unprepared in the sense that we did not know what to do with his lab specimens. They were initially mishandled, and that's what the lab technician told me. And it was just a little chaotic scene. Our infectious disease department was contacted to ask, what is the protocol? And their answer was, we don't know. We're going to have to call you back.
The news, we could have had an Ebola vaccine by now if it weren't for Republican budget cuts. That's according to Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health, who told the Huffington Post that a decade of penny pinching has been a disaster for his agency. Collins said NIH has been working on Ebola vaccine since 2001. Not like we suddenly woke up and thought, oh my gosh, we should have something ready here. Frankly, if we had not gone through our 10-year slide in research support, we probably would have had a vaccine in time for this. It would have gone through clinical trials and would have been ready. End of quote.
For the next few minutes, I'm going to give you the facts on Ebola.
Danger! Go on! Get out of it! You're in danger! Please! Get out of it!
contracted the virus while she was caring for Mr. Duncan. And you described to me on the phone the equipment you were wearing. There was a shield and a mask, and there was some kind of a gown that covered your arms. You wore gloves and booties over your shoes. But there was a glaring difficulty or problem. There was a gap in your protective gear at your neck of several inches where your skin was exposed. Is that true?
Just to clarify this very complicated story, initially we were advised to wear a gown front and back. By the time that I even partook in the Ebola situation in my hospital, we were already wearing what I guess would be hazmat suits. They were Tyvek suits, they were DuPont suits, and it was basically, you know, just like you would have in a snowsuit or any hoodie, it would zip up to about here. And then from there, it would go into a hood up around my face, like this, around my whole face. And then on top of that was a mask in front of me that would go under my chin to here. So from here to here was uncovered.
And that concerned you, and you complained about it, or you at least asked the officials at the hospital why that was being allowed to happen, correct?
In fact, I'll just be honest, I threw a fit. I just couldn't believe it, you know. In the second week of an Ebola crisis at my hospital, the only gear they're offering us at that time, and up until that time, is gear that is allowing our necks to be uncovered.
That a decade of penny stitching has been a disaster for his agency. Collins said NIH has been working on Ebola vaccine since 2001. It's not like we suddenly woke up and thought, oh my gosh, we should have something ready here. Frankly, if we had not gone through our 10-year slide in research support, we probably would have had a vaccine in time for this. We would have gone through clinical trials and would have been ready. End of quote.
You're tuned to the plus thing.
How bad is he hurt?
Both legs, left arm, broken all the bits. We had to dig him out from under the most peculiar things I ever saw.
What things?
Well, I don't know what they are. I never saw them before. They look like great big seed pods.
How is it different?
That's just it. There is no difference. He looks, sounds, acts, and remembers like Uncle Ira.
Then he is your Uncle Ira. Can't you see that?
But Miles, there's no emotion.
I just flat out asked several infectious disease nurses. I asked the CDC, why? Why would I be wearing two pairs of gloves, three pairs of booties, a plastic suit covering my entire body, and then leave my neck hanging out this much so that it can, something can potentially go close to my mouth or nose?
It'll take just 3 minutes. But first, today, given what we know, you should have no concerns about Ebola at all, none.
There are a lot of other hospitals in the Dallas area. Texas Health Presbyterian could have put a call out to those other hospitals saying, do you have the suits that protect the entire body? Why don't you think they did that?
I'm not an administration, and I'd only be speculating. I'm someone, I guess you would say, is at the bottom of the totem pole here.
Anticipation is building here on the tarmac, touching down for the first time in the United States. Yes, I do believe it's here. Yes, it is confirmed. It's Ebola. Ebola media has finally come to the U.S., and the crowd is terrified. Ebola is finally probably here. What are you going to do now that Ebola is here in the U.S.?
Die! It's a killer. It's a ruthless killer.
We're very, very scared we might get infected.
This crowd could not be more shitting their pants.
Me, no. There's something in the air, and it feels like fear.
Unless a medical professional has contacted you personally and told you of some sort of possible exposure, fear not.
There's something in the night, and it seems like terror.
Do not listen to the hysterical voices on the radio and the television, or read the fear-provoking words online.
I only know what information trickles down to me, but I actually posed that same question to someone who identified himself as the vice president of our organization. I asked him, then good, you know, you're the vice president. You can go and ask for the supplies that we need. And he advised me that he would call me back. I asked him for a contact phone number so that we could call someone more at the top of the totem pole here and ask them, you know, for direct things that we need. Because it's not just that we were missing. And he said he will call me back with a phone number that I can reach help with. And he had never called me back.
Brianna, you, I mentioned, worked at this hospital and have worked there for 3 years. You love your job. You're not a union member. In Dallas, there isn't that nurses' union. You're now saying things are going to make a lot of people at that hospital look very, very bad. Are you worried about the fallout here for you personally?
And I just want to say that I'm sorry for my coworkers. I know that a lot of you will be proud of me right now, and I'm sorry for those of you that are not. But what I'm doing here is not wrong, and I don't believe anyone can argue that.
Say and write hysterical things are being very irresponsible. Here are the facts. A man contracted Ebola overseas. Tragically, he was dying in a Texas hospital. He was at his most contagious while showing the most severe symptoms. That's how Ebola works. And a healthcare worker at the hospital got the virus from him. She is doing well, she says, Skyping with her family from isolation just yesterday, saying she's blessed to have so much support and such great medical care. The CDC director told us, all of us, yesterday that he did indeed expect other healthcare workers at that hospital who treated that one dying patient to contract the virus.
None. Just the pretense of it.
Watching my own destruction take place.
There isn't any danger until they're completely formed.
We learned that last night at your house.
Your plan didn't change right away.
So, Ebola, how are you finding America so far?
With the map.
How do we cure you?
Well, if we knew that, we'd become doctors.
Until you fell asleep. Miles, when the change does take place, do you suppose there's any difference?
Dr. Collins' comments come as officials have now confirmed a second case of Ebola here in the U.S., and they raise some interesting questions. I mean, if Republicans are as scared of Ebola as they say they are, why are they so willing to cut programs that could prevent the disease from spreading?
Thank you.
It is, it's the best job I ever had. I travel a great distance to work there. I don't live close to that hospital. I'm the breadwinner of my family.
Nina Pham, I believe her name is being transferred here to the D.C. area, to the National Institutes of Health, get her out of that Texas hospital. Not sure exactly why. Presumably it's because there's better care. I'm also wondering if maybe in the hospital in Texas, people are just saying, hey, Ebola, I'm not going near it after what's happened. Executive Director of National Nurses United, nationalnursesunited.org is the website. Roseanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
It's always great talking to you.
You guys, by the way, I do want to thank you for the coverage.
You're welcome. And I think we have talked on this program about how the lack of unions in Texas puts all workers at risk. Here is, hyper case in point. Texas is a right to work for less state. They aggressively trash unions. We've got a so-called not-for-profit hospital here that's actually funded by a company that is funded by a vulture capital firm, a Mitt Romney kind of firm. And last year they showed an 8.3%. They call it a fund balance, but it's actually a profit, which is higher than their 7% profit from the previous year. Yeah, I mean, there's just, what's going on down in Texas? What is it that we need to know about what's happening?
Well, I think I have to kind of disaggregate this too. What's happening in the Dallas hospital could have actually been any hospital in this country. Essentially vacated any notion of a healthcare system in favor of a market-based healthcare industry. And we're seeing the direct effects of that. I mean, the status quo is indefensible. It puts people's lives at risk, and that's what we have, and that's where we're unable to move our legislators from so far. I mean, every day we have nurses, we had nurses in Texas come forward. They came forward anonymously because they were very fearful for their jobs. So your point on the unions is 100% accurate. They were so afraid when they were talking to us, they were trembling. But their story was so compelling in terms of everything that went wrong. What was particularly, I'd say, the most kind of outrageous thing was that there were no protocols in place in that hospital, and yet they tried to blame the nurse that had contracted Ebola for not following protocol. So what happened after that was we held an informational press conference that said don't blame nurses. The nurses saw that from the National Nurses United, and they called us, and they wanted to talk because they could not take the fact that they were being blamed for what was the most chaotic, just complete void of any type of actual procedures and policies and protocols that should have been in place. But I am telling you, that could be any hospital in this country. And that's what we're hearing from nurses across the nation, and we're hearing it loudly. I mean, we had a conference call yesterday. We had 11,500 nurses on that call looking for answers.
It must be. Wilma noticed it. So did little Jimmy.
So did I. My father. get on your radio and sound at all points alarm. Lock all highways, stop all traffic, and call every law enforcement agency in the state. Operative, get me the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
There's someone in your bed, and it looks like you.
Mommy?
Life will be simpler now. The only thing missing,
Mommy,
will be you.
The UN is now making a claim and issuing a warning about Ebola that has some people scared and it has others questioning whether the UN knows what they're talking about. And the claim from the UN is that Ebola must be controlled within 60 days or else the world faces what they're calling an unprecedented situation for which there is no plan. They say that the disease is running faster than us and that it is winning the race. Over 9,000 or almost 9,000 cases of Ebola have been reported so far in West Africa, nearly 4,500 deaths. The WHO has also advised that we need to ensure within 60 days that 70% of infected people are in a care facility and 70% of burials are done without causing further infection. We're going to talk about the burials a little bit later, but as far as these numbers go, Lewis, what's your sense of what the UN is saying here? Do you think this may be some slightly exaggerated fear-mongering, or do you buy it?
I don't see, this is one of those situations in which I don't see the harm in fear-mongering.
That's now happened. Another healthcare worker at that same hospital now has Ebola. They tell us they're transferring her to Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. Now, before she showed symptoms, she flew from Cleveland to Dallas on Frontier Airlines. They say she should not have done that, but she did. But as we all now know, if you don't show symptoms, you are not contagious. She did not show symptoms, according to the doctors. Still, medical professionals are contacting everyone who was on that plane to make sure each person is okay.
Seen by now, if it weren't for Republican budget cuts. That's according to Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health, who told the Huffington Post that a decade of penny pinching has been a disaster for his agency. Collins said NIH has been working on Ebola vaccine since 2001. It's not like we suddenly woke up and thought, oh my gosh, we should have something ready here. Frankly, if we had not gone through our 10-year slide in research support, we probably would have had a vaccine in time for this. It would have gone through clinical trials and would have been ready, end of quote. Dr. Collins' comments come as officials have now confirmed a second case of Ebola here in the U.S. And they raise some interesting questions. I mean, if Republicans are as scared of Ebola as they say they are, why are they so willing to cut programs that could prevent the disease from spreading?
Vincent expanded on Thursday to include visitors to the Coming Attractions Bridal Store in Akron, where Vincent visited with friends on Saturday. Summit County Department of Health trying to identify other customers who may have also been there at the time.
And the only time is between noon and 3:30. So if someone came when the store opened at 10, or someone was there at 4, they don't need to call us.
Public health officials on Thursday credited Vincent for spending most of her time in a family home, intentionally limiting her contact with people while there.
Mommy!
What's the matter?
There's Mommy. She's right there. What happened?
No,
I'm seeing people at the infirmary exhibiting paranoia. People afraid to sleep.
Get in bed.
Afraid of family members.
Let it go!
Afraid of themselves.
Going to jail now that Ebola is here in the U.S.
Die! It's a killer! It's a ruthless killer!
We're very, very scared we might get infected!
This crowd could not be more shitting their pants.
About this, it could be disastrous.
You could make the argument when we first talked about Ebola back on June 27th, if there had been more fear then,
maybe some of this could have been prevented. At the same time, we're not really advocating propagandistic fear-mongering, but we're saying that people should be aware of what could happen, and maybe that would create some kind of a catalyst to actually act more quickly or earlier.
Thank you.
big picture, and this is important, you have to remember that in the middle of all of this, you have to remember that there is politics in the mix. With midterm elections coming, the party in charge needs to appear to be effectively leading. The party out of power needs to show that there is a lack of leadership. So the president has canceled